Yukos had moved into a new high-rise that spring. Misamor and his colleagues now worked in a cool, Spartan, modern setting. The only way forward, Khodorkovsky had concluded, was to opt for an American model for Yukos, the colleague recounted in his fluorescent-lit office that July afternoon. True, there were those inside Putin's Kremlin who would resist. "It's a very real conflict," the Yukos official said. "It's not public yet." Other oligarchs of Khodorkovsky's ilk, Vladimir Grushinsky and Boris Berezovsky among them, had already been served with arrest warrants, the latter's earlier in 2003. The next morning, Russian authorities arrested Platon Lebedev, the chairman of Menatep and a major Yukos investor, on charges of defrauding Russia in a 1994 privatization deal. Khodorkovsky, too, was summoned for questioning, but released. The Yukos chief was on notice, but he plunged ahead. The American embassy in Moscow cabled Washington. The embassy reported that the detentions of Yukos leaders were a serious development, but one that would likely blow over. Most analysts interpret the government of Russia's actions as a warning to Khodorkovsky to reduce his high-profile involvement in politics, which has included significant contributions to political parties and speaking publicly of the need to ensure that the upcoming elections are successful in producing a Duma that will pursue the reforms he favors. Most analysts believe Yukos and the Kremlin will step back and quietly resolve their differences, at least in the short term. The Bush administration's energy diplomacy barreled ahead as well. In September 2003, Don Evans led a delegation of American energy executives to tour Russia in connection with yet another U.S.-Russian energy policy summit. Putin traveled to New York and celebrated the opening of a gas station in Manhattan owned by the Russian firm Lukoil to demonstrate that Russian companies were investing in American markets. Richard Grasso, then the chief executive of the New York Stock Exchange, invited about 20 American business leaders to meet with the Russian president while he was in New York inside the exchange's ornate headquarters at 11 Wall Street. Lee Raymond flew in. After the general roundtable session with the American business leaders, Raymond and Putin met separately in private. The ExxonMobil negotiating team had decided that it would be best to find out directly from Putin whether the Russian president would be prepared to allow ExxonMobil to eventually acquire a majority stake in Yukos. Raymond had told Khodorkovsky that he intended to speak directly with Putin about this. Khodorkovsky had discouraged him. The ExxonMobil team interpreted Khodorkovsky's warning as only a negotiating tactic, designed to maintain Yukos's leverage as the exclusive source of communication with the Russian government about the proposed deal. Seated in a stock exchange conference room, Raymond told Putin about the negotiations with Yukos. He explained that if ExxonMobil were to make an investment, it would do so only if there was an agreement in advance that the American corporation could eventually take majority control. ExxonMobil didn't necessarily need to own all of Yukos, Raymond continued. If Russia wanted enough local ownership so that the company could be listed on a Russian stock exchange, that would be okay. But ExxonMobil required a pathway to at least 51% ownership. "You can basically decide how you want the other 49%, Raymond told Putin, according to an account of the meeting later briefed to ExxonMobil executives. "Do you want the government to own it? Do you want it to be listed on an exchange? But before I get started, I need to have an understanding of our ability to get to 51%. It turned into a lengthy conversation. Putin talked expansively about the choices he faced in building oil pipelines to China to feed that economy's thirst for energy. He put a piece of paper on the table, sketched a map on it, and started drawing lines showing possible pipeline routes. He talked about whether a pipeline should cross to China above or below the Aral Sea. They also talked about coal. It turned out that Putin had studied coal as a graduate student. As to ExxonMobil's proposition, Putin asked Raymond, "If you'll have 51%, that means if I want to have Yukos do something, I'm going to have to come and talk to you?"
"Yeah, that's not so awful," Raymond answered. "That's true in a lot of places in the world."
"I'm not prepared to answer that today," Putin said.
"I'm not asking you to answer that today," Raymond told him. "You need to talk to your people."
Khodorkovsky had also kept up his talks with Chevron, alongside those with ExxonMobil. The negotiations involved price and shareholding percentages, among other issues. As Bruce Missemore understood the terms, the discussions with Chevron involved some cross-ownership, whereby Yukos might acquire an interest in Chevron entities. With ExxonMobil, the terms under discussion were more one-sided, with ExxonMobil proposing straight up to buy an interest in Yukos. Khodorkovsky asked Missemore which of the two American companies, Chevron or ExxonMobil, he would recommend as a partner. Missemore said that he felt Yukos's style of operations was far more analogous to Chevron. It was more of a laid-back culture. Also, if they took on Chevron as a partner, it would be more of a mutual learning concept. With ExxonMobil, by contrast, it was going to be much more of a "we know what we are doing, we are going to tell you how to do it" type of an approach. After the meeting with Putin in New York, according to a former senior ExxonMobil executive, Raymond spoke quite optimistically about what he thought was going to happen. Lee Raymond's remarks about what Russia would have to do to satisfy ExxonMobil may have grated on Putin, however. The report that we got back later was that Putin perceived him as just totally arrogant and far too aggressive, Missemore recalled. And he just really was totally turned off by Lee Raymond, this big U.S. industrialist coming and his arrogance and telling the president of a country how things are going to be, almost. Putin just was totally turned off by the guy. That was the report we got. On September 1, 2003, BP announced a partnership with a Russian firm to jointly hold oil assets as a new entity called TNK-BP. The deal was complicated, but it effectively transformed TNK-BP into Russia's third-largest oil company, with a London-based private corporation as a major shareholder. From Washington, Leonard Coburn, who was at the Department of Energy monitoring the Raymond-Putin talks, assessed that Putin was a little scared about what an ExxonMobil purchase of Yukos would mean for him. Here was an American-headquartered oil giant obviously tied to the Bush administration proposing to follow BP into a strategic Russian industry, the primary source of Russia's national wealth.